The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Kevin from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. Your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 421 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. And Michelle, we don't have our partner, Chris. He's busy doing some daddy stuff.
Yeah, today. He is. Yeah, he's got twins going to college next year. Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah, he's an old man.
I think we're going to have to increase his pay here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast.
We will, because he's going to be in debt. You know.
All right, so our shout-out is inspired by one of our guests, but I think it's a great idea, and it is somebody who, Mike, you and I ran into in August. He gets around because his name is Mark Zelke, and he went to Paris to run. We saw him in Disney World in August, and I believe he's in Walt Disney World again, or was there this weekend celebrating the Magic Kingdom's 45th anniversary. So
that's right.
Yeah, he gets around.
That's
good job, Mark.
And when you're getting around Walt Disney World, you'll love to have some tips to help you do what you need to do. And this is not, I'm not sure if this is a real tip, but it's just some advice, really. And that is that if you are going to Walt Disney World, I really suggest that you download the My Disney Experience app. Make sure that you have your magic bands on and everything. Make sure that you have it on your smartphone, and have it on your computer, whatever, because you can do so many things. You can make reservations. You can do fast passes. Whatever. It's something that I think every Disney World, Disneyland, well, Disneyland's not going to work, I guess, but I think that every Disney World fan should have. So that's my tip for today.
All right.
And today is part two of our discussion regarding the Disneyland half Disneyland Paris half marathon weekend. And in part one, we had a great review of the expo. And pre-race of 5K and a few other things with our special reporters who were over there, Lee Zimmerman and Laura Gilbreth. Laura, of course, has a blog on allears.net called Salute to All Things Disney, but mostly Disneyland. And maybe for that blog, she could say mostly Disneyland Paris. She's got a five-parter on their experiences, on her experiences. So we are pleased as punch to bring them back. Welcome back, Laura and Lee, to talk about the Disneyland Paris half inaugural. Got to use that I word, the inaugural half marathon. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
So we're recording this.
Okay. Paris, a semi-marathon.
Semi.
Oh.
Semi-marathon.
So we're recording this at 3 o'clock in the morning because we're all jet lagged. we're all up, so we're trying to make use of our
thousand apologies.
Oh, boy.
Be our guest.
Yes, yes. So we're going again.
So we finished off part one, talking about the 5K. And
I forgot to ask what the medal was.
Was it a plastic medal or was it a metal?
It was rubber. Wife says it's the last of the rubber medals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
It had Remy on it.
Remy.
It was very cute.
So it was a rubber Remy.
A rubber Remy.
Not to be confused with Jerry Remy.
They won't know who Jerry Remy is.
Well, he played for the Angels for a while.
Okay.
Back in the day before they...
He's our Red Sox announcer, guys.
So take us to the morning of the half marathon and tell us about how the pre-race was and how it differed from what we're used to seeing stateside.
So, and we didn't really talk about this for the 5K, but both mornings for the folks that were staying in the resorts, you could actually go down early, and they had fruit and yogurt and coffee and stuff like that in the restaurants that you could grab a light snack before actually going out. So that was very convenient. Again, for all of us that were staying on property, it was a relatively short walk from even the furthest of the Disney resorts to the events area that they had set up in Disney Village, which is their version of Downtown Disney. And you wandered through there. They actually reused the registration area as the gear check area. And they gave us those familiar clear plastic Run Disney bags if anybody actually wanted to check anything. The good news was the weather both mornings was fairly nice. So half marathon morning. Well, the best news is it wasn't pouring rain on us half marathon morning, which as we got closer to race weekend, it fairly consistently had said it was going to rain on Sunday. And then by Saturday, it decided it was going to rain later in the day. So the locals warned us that the Paris metropolitan area weather is fickle and it could still change.
Yeah, actually, it was very, at least in England, I was just 20 miles away, but it was very sunny for most of the days. It was very nice weather. Yes, for you guys too?
Yeah, we had sun first thing in the morning both days. So the morning of the half marathon was really very nice. It was about 55 degrees. So I thought it was perfect running weather.
Yeah, so I mean, Laura had her trash bag on. I had my utility space blanket on. Lots of people, you know, were just there and whatever they were going to run in. So that was convenient. So you wandered through the registration / gear check area out. They had a fairly small pre-race area compared to the normal races in the States. And really what it had was porta potties, and they'd set up a couple photo backdrops that you could take pictures of kind of with your own camera yourself. But I had kind of thought when they marked the photo areas on the map, one of the things they had done Dark Side Weekend was they'd actually brought in a bunch of characters that they could get pictures with people before the race, I think as a way to address the lines during the race and the lack of characters on the course. So we kind of expected that was one of the lessons maybe they'd learned, but no, it was just backdrops that you could, you know, line up for and get pictures. So we didn't. We got there about the same time as we had for the 5K because we knew there was twice as many people, but we also knew we weren't going to do anything in the pre-race area really. So we pretty much just wandered through the pre-race area and headed to the corrals. They had upped the number of corrals from 3 to 5?
Four.
Okay.
Four corrals for a half marathon?
Yeah. A, B, C, D.
But again, they started in waves just like they had on the 5K. So it was really a very small A corral and then three big long chutes that they broke up into, I don't know.
I think they said there's going to be 32 waves.
Holy moly.
Yeah, wow. And they were starting them about a little over a minute between. Because I think the final people didn't go off until pretty close to 8 o'clock.
But you have to remember that the total number of runners was about one third what you would normally see in a half or the Walt Disney World Marathon. There was only 8,595 finishers, I guess.
That's many finished. There were between 10 and 11,000 registered.
Oh my God. Wow.
So one third of them did not finish.
Well, or never started. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
I didn't have the doctor's certificate.
That number based on looking in the registration area at the number of booths that actually were staffed up. So conceivably there was that many registrations.
Right.
Interesting. Wow. All right. So take us through the course. Where did you go and what did you see?
Well, we ended up having, again, a fair bit of park time. Instead of starting in Disneyland, this time we started in the studios, and we ran through quite a bit more of the studios than we had the day before. So we got to run through their lights, motors, action area and see ourselves on the big screen as we came through. And went through a fair bit of that park. It's a pretty small park, but we went through a fair bit of it. Then we went into Disneyland, ran in almost, I think, every land in Disneyland, and we ended up going through Fantasyland twice, which was a little bit strange. And
are you sure you didn't just get lost?
Well, if we did, then all those people we were following were lost too.
Okay.
So we started in Corral B this time, which was much better as far as character stops and everything goes, because the lines were much shorter. So about now remember, this was all measured in kilometers. So at the kilometer 6 marker, we had left Disney property. We'd been running in a backstage area for about a kilometer. We left Disney property completely and went out into the community of Val d'Europe, which is the area that surrounds Disneyland Paris. And the residential area, a couple of little villages. We ran by parks and woods and saw a couple of lakes.
Farmland.
I mean, I thought it was quite picturesque and really interesting to see. But we were really never that far from Disneyland Paris. And so fair number of times out in the distance, you could see the top of Space Mountain or the spires of Sleeping Beauty Castle. Some places we could hear music coming from the parks. So that was kind of interesting. So we kind of made a circle, kind of a half circle around that entire area around Disneyland Paris, and then went back into the park or into the Disney property. And I liked this. The last 5K of the race was back on Disney property. So that's almost 3 miles, a little over 3 miles. And typically, like for Disneyland races, like we're used to, the last mile is on Disney property, but it's all backstage. And so it's really boring and there's really nothing, not much going on until the last maybe 3/10 of a mile when you get near the hotels. But this time we ran through two of the resort properties that we hadn't really seen much of. So that was kind of fun. And then we ran around their Lake Disney area, which was where our hotel was, through downtown Disney, and then kind of ducked backstage at the studios again. And the last kilometer was about the same course that we had run for the 5K the day before. So really a very interesting course, as much park time as they could give us. So it was on the order of, a little over 3 miles of park time in the start, and then we had that resort time the last 5K pretty much. So a lot of Disney time, I think.
Yeah. So just a couple observations. The end was a little bit ironic because one of the hotels is themed like, you know, the Old West, and it's laid out with big, like, Main Street, you know, looks like dirt street with the elevated walkways and everything. And so it's a little bit funny to be an American running in Paris and suddenly look like you're running through, you know, the middle of the Old West. The other thing I thought was interesting is the time out in the couple of villages that we ran through, the parts we ran through were clearly very modern. Now, maybe that's because we'd spent days in Paris before this, and, you know, you major European city, you see lots and lots of, you know, the quaint, cool, old stuff. And it's still built the same way, but it was just interesting to see a modern European kind of suburban area, just because that's not something as a tourist you normally get to see.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like the idea of running through some of the resorts. I think that's a nice touch. I don't know if you could do that. Well, I guess you could do that in Disney World, but that would be kind of, well, I guess you do. You do run along Boardwalk.
But also seeing some of the countryside, too, is kind of nice.
Yeah, I've run the countryside. It's really nice. What about
the other thing?
Yeah.
We got to do traffic circles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You mean rotary? And
no, not rotaries. Roundabouts.
Roundabouts, yeah.
We don't have those on the West Coast.
Oh, you
so
don't?
It was, no. That's a quaint, archaic custom that came from Europe, and apparently the old part of the country uses it, not
in
the modern
England,
part.
They have them like every half mile.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Wow. We have a lot of them here too.
No fun.
Yeah. Interesting. Wow. I never knew that.
What about characters?
So characters, there were about as many character stops for the half marathon as there were for the 5K. I think I counted 10 instead of 11 like we had for the 5K, but still lots and lots of character stops. Some of them had as many as 5 characters out at one time. A lot of them had 2 or 3 at one time. And so they swapped them in and out quite a bit. One of the complaints with the 5K had been that the cast members weren't telling runners when a character was going away, or they didn't close a line. So people would stand in line and then the character would disappear when they got up there. Well, they fixed that overnight. And so we got in a couple of lines and were told, okay, these characters are going away in 5 minutes. And yes, they did, but another character came out. So it's not like we had to go without a character. And we got in one line for Captain America, and they said, oh, no, he's going away. So you got to go see Spider-Man instead. Well, we'd seen Spider-Man the day before, so we didn't continue with that. But yeah, there were tons of characters again, because we were much earlier in the race. The lines weren't nearly as long. The other thing that was very different is most of the characters were completely different than those we'd seen the day before.
Oh, interesting. Except for Spider-Man.
Yeah. Spider-Man and Captain America were the same. And Remy was out. But I think those were the only ones that were out on both days.
How big? I mean, we talking life-size Remy, right?
Yeah, human-sized.
No, because we never see... Chefs de France in Epcot, it's Remy on a platter or whatever, you know? So, I don't know, just... We haven't seen...
This was the life-size Remy that they've had him out for Wine and Dine before.
Oh.
I've seen him out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the same size as the human chefs.
Can't tell one chef from the other. They all look alike when they put those...
A human-sized rat.
And they put those hats on. So,
yes.
were there any hills in the course? I'm always curious to see where they put the hills on.
There was. Yeah. When we were out in the community area, there was one place that we ran downhill a bit. It wasn't steep, but it was downhill. And we thought, oh, this is not going to be fun coming back. Because that was part of the course where we had an out and back. And so we could see the people who were ahead of us on the other side of the road. So that's a little bit discouraging. And I think that went on for, I think that section was almost four or five kilometers where it was doubling back on itself. So in the beginning of it, thinking, oh, great, those people that we're seeing are 4 kilometers ahead of us. And it was in that section where we had that little bit of a hill, which, of course, was on the way back that we had to come uphill a little bit.
So when you were running off the property, were there crowds there cheering you on like we see at the Disneyland races?
Yes, not anywhere near the numbers of them. Sometimes it would be a couple families that had popped. I mean, we were running right by, housing areas and stuff like that. And so sometimes there'd just be a few families out. There were police on the roundabouts and kind of major intersections and stuff. One of the areas where we ran into a park, there were cheerleaders. There was a couple times that there were relatively small bands, hard to tell if it was a school band or a community band or something like that, but certainly not the massive throngs like the Red Hat Ladies,
right.
Or the
high schools,
the huge high schools. But there were people, a few of them, most of the time, I would say.
What about I can't remember if there are mile markers in Disneyland when we're off the property, but how did
mm-hmm.
how are the mile markers over there, guys? Were they really the same as what we see the kilometer. Were they kilometer markers or were they mile?
Yeah, they were kilometer markers, and they were you know, Disney decorated. So they were themed. When we were in the parks, they were themed actually to the area of the park that we were running in. When we were outside the park, they were themed to different Disney movies. So one thing I thought interesting, when we ran through the two resorts, one of them is a Southwest theme, and it's actually a Cars theme. So the kilometer marker there was a Cars theme. And when we ran through the Hotel Cheyenne, which was the Western theme, then the mile marker there had a Western theme to it. But other ones, we saw markers that had Frozen theme, Beauty and the Beast, Snow White.
It's like they're throwing everything in. Just throw it all in.
Yeah. Now, the thing that was different about the kilometer markers, there were no clocks on the kilometer markers.
Interesting.
Yeah, like they have at Disney. So.
Now, the other thing that was humorous is when we hit the first kilometer mark, the number of people who were like, wow, that was a quick mile, and they kind of did a double take and looked at their garments or whatever and went, oh, yeah, that's a kilometer, not a mile.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask about the water stops in Walt Disney World. One of the things that bothers me, Run Disney, I hope you're listening, is that on the water stops, they have tables right across from each other, and it causes a capacity issue when you're running through the stops. And I wish that they would have on the right side of the road a table with water and whatever, and then further up they would have the other table. So were the water stops the same as in Walt Disney World?
Yes, they were.
They were.
For the most part.
Yeah, sometimes they were only on one side. But I think in the parks they were generally on both sides. It was out in the city, I think there were more that were linear on one side, as you would suggest.
And power.
But I don't think any place had seen that crowded.
No, they were spaced pretty far apart, I mean, pretty wide. So I never felt that the courses were very congested at all. It was really nice and wide.
So I think actually one of the things I noticed, just like Disney World, the public spaces have wider paths than Disneyland, mm-hmm. you know, because there was more room and they knew how popular it was going to be. Disneyland Paris, I think, is even broader and more open in the park area. But the other thing I thought was interesting is the backstage area seems to be built with wider roads. And so sometimes that's where it gets congested at the World, is when they do those stops in the backstage, because it's kind of a narrow two-lane road, and it seemed to be much more spread out, and so it just wasn't as much of a problem.
Did they hand out gels at around the 15-kilometer mark?
They didn't hand out gels. That was one thing very interesting about this race. There were two nutrition stops, and one of them was about 7.5 kilometers, and I think the other one was 15, and they handed out packets of sliced apples, and they had Special K cereal bars. So no gels, no goo packets or anything like that.
How was the medical team presence for the race?
There were medical stops along the race. I didn't really notice them because we were never really looking for them, but they were there.
And I think there were the kind of typical folks on bikes too. I saw them either before or after the race. I didn't really see them during the race.
I got more questions than I thought I had.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask for the part of the course that was outside the Disney property. How was the traffic control? Was that good? Was that,
as far as we could tell, they had the roads completely blocked off and only runners allowed on them. I don't remember seeing any cars.
No, I mean, it was early. We were in a suburban/rural area. We were on big roads that were kind of connectors between, you know, neighborhoods and things like that. So there probably wouldn't have been a whole lot of traffic anyway. But yeah, they seem to have had those roads completely blocked off. There were plenty of barricades. And again, any place, I think, where there was a connecting road, there was two or three policemen.
Armed guards in full, you know, riot gear, carrying rifles.
On the race course.
On the race course, yeah. Well, and we saw that all over Paris, too. So they take security seriously.
They should.
And so there was definitely a presence. I mean, I would say we saw them at least every kilometer, if not more often than that, when we were out in the community area. I would say there were probably two per kilometer where we would see the security guys. So they were serious. I didn't find it scary at all. I actually thought it was kind of reassuring. I mean, I felt safe.
How would you compare the finish line to what we have seen in Florida and in California?
I think it was the same. They had a banner set up across that you ran over. One thing that was different was, especially the 5K, they had characters at the finish line, but they were after you crossed the finish line. And there were a bunch of them, and they were letting runners stop and take pictures with the characters, which the runners were kind of stretched across the finish area, so it kind of turned into a little bit of a bottleneck, and that was a little bit of an issue. The next day for the half, they still had characters at the finish line on the other side of it, but they'd moved them further away from the finish line and were directing runners to not stand across the course. So that helped, but that was odd seeing them there.
And the goodie bag or the goodie treasures at the end of the race, were they different from the 5K? Same thing?
We had banana instead of an apple, and then still had the cereal bar and the peanuts, and there was also a little thing of fruit and nut mix, a little pack of fruit and nut mix in there too.
So did they have photo pass?
They did, but you had to purchase. You could purchase a photo pass card before the race at the expo, and so it was supposed to be a deal if you purchased it at the expo. It was €40, and that's for all your race photos plus photos that you used it for in the parks. Though those were kind of hard to come by because they didn't have photo pass photographers all over the parks like we see here. I think they were mostly at the character stops because that was the only place I saw them.
Did you guys get it?
We did. Mm-hmm. And you can associate supposedly up to 5 bibs with it. At this point, it's been a week since the 5K, and the photo pass photos are still not online.
Oh, interesting. Where they are automatically at Disney, pretty much.
Yeah, so we are still waiting. And if you go to the photo pass site, it says, be patient, we'll have the photos available soon.
So it's a different site. It's at Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, it's like photo pass, run.photopass.eu or something like that.
Hmm.
We have to go to. And then the idea is once the site becomes available, we should be able to go in, put in the PhotoPass card number, and then be able to put in the bib numbers that are supposed to be associated with that PhotoPass card. So we'll see how it works.
Interesting.
Yeah, if you didn't purchase it at the expo, you could still do the same thing after the race, but it would be €50 for all your photos.
Oh, interesting. So what about the medal for this one and the Castle to Chateau?
They're both very nice, very detailed medals. I think the half marathon medal says inaugural on it, which is very important. And I think it's the castle. Sleeping Beauty Castle on it. And the Castle to Chateau medal is actually has some of the coloring on it, like we've seen on some of the other medals lately. Really, really, it's really pretty, very nicely detailed, and it's quite a lovely medal, I think.
Very cool.
So, Laura and Lee, throughout this experience, I mean, you've seen, you know, how things are run in this inaugural race over there in France, and you were able to see how they do the registration, the expo, pre-race, race course, how they treat the runners at the finish line, the post-race area, and all that. Is there anything that you experienced over there that you would like to see United States Run Disney adopt? Or do you think
characters?
Okay.
Characters. I mean, Run Disney, I hope Run Disney US is taking note of the characters and how many there were in Paris. That was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I wonder, they probably have a separate entertainment department and things like that over there.
Yeah.
Cool.
And would you, the other thing is the bags.
Yeah, just being able to hold the bag.
Yeah. What a little having thing. A bag was great.
Something with handles. Before we let you go, we wanted you to talk a little bit about...
Oh, no. Well, I went to ask first if they would do it again.
Oh, sounds like...
Yes. I would.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this is going to be an every year thing, because that would just be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But...
people
certainly
say that about Run Disney events, regular Run Disney events.
The running experience was great. You know, the expo was a little bit rocky, but the running experience was great. As good as any Run Disney race I've ever done. And again, that's not really surprising. Even though it's the first one in Europe, the race director talked about being in America and doing Run Disney events and stuff like that. So it wasn't like Disney doesn't know how to do this and they didn't have lots of examples to pull from. I think it was mostly just trying to take that formula and figure out how you apply it with the rules and regulations and whatever that they have to deal with in a foreign country.
And different vendors too.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think it's part of the photo pass thing is they're just because there just were not nearly as many photographers around as we're used to seeing. But we joked that you probably wouldn't fly, you know, 100 PhotoPass photographers in from, you know, Disney World just so that they could take pictures for this weekend. So that's kind of the way it worked out. But, yeah, I would do it again. And the experience was very much like a Run Disney race in the States. And so I think I agree with Laura that, well, we always want the expos to be better. We want them to limit how much people can buy. We want them to actually make enough stuff that people don't have to, you know, get there early and fight over it. So that's just a general Run Disney complaint. More characters would be awesome. But I think that pretty much covers it. And yeah, bags.
And Laura, you would do it again?
Yes. Yeah. I would definitely do it again. I think this was, it's the best Disney 5K I've ever done. And in terms of the half marathon, I really enjoyed the half marathon course a lot. So much park time, so many characters. I kind of stack it up against Star Wars light side in terms of the quality of the race weekend. And I would put Disneyland Paris and Star Wars Lightside as being probably my two favorite race weekends.
Wow. I just wish it was a different time of the year. It's just such a tough time. And if you could ask Run Disney to do it in another destination city, where else would you like to go if it wasn't Paris? Would you do Shanghai?
I wouldn't do Shanghai.
Mm-hmm. Tokyo?
Maybe Tokyo.
Tokyo would make sense because you could run around the big circle that is the parks and all of the associated resorts. I mean, there's some place to run.
Mm-hmm.
And you have two big, beautiful parks there. So yeah, it would be fun to run. Now, What you don't have is, I'm not sure that they're close enough that you can run the 5K through both DisneySea and Disneyland Tokyo. And again, that's one of the advantages of Disneyland. It's one of the advantages of here, is that you've got two parks that are literally right next to each other. So you can do a 5K in both of them, which makes it more entertaining. There's not go run through the parking lot time.
Right. Cool. So you also spent some time in Disneyland Paris, which was a new experience for you.
Yes, it was.
And what are the highlights?
Highlights.
Disneyland Paris is a beautiful park. It's really lovely the way it's laid out. The castle is gorgeous. There's a dragon that lives under the castle that wakes up and breathes fire or smoke anyway. And that's really cool. So
their main street is laid out brilliantly because it has bypasses or arcades on both sides behind the shops, which my wife, the expert, tells me it's because it rains there. But I just think it's cool because it gives you a bypass, you know, if you're trying to get around the crowds or when they're trying to empty the crowds out at the end of the day. So it's really nicely laid out. It's unfortunate. Big Thunder Mountain was down for a multi-month major rehab, and the land is – which land is that?
Frontierland.
So Frontierland is basically built around Big Thunder Mountain at Disneyland Paris. It actually has like their version of Rivers of America around it. And so it's a huge part of that land and a huge part of that experience. And I have heard it's the best Big Thunder Mountain there is, but we didn't get to ride it. It's kind of cool because their Haunted Mansion is in Frontierland. So it's actually a Western theme. So it was fun to do Haunted Mansion, but in a building that looks different, and you know it's different inside. There's actually scarier. It's got like real skeletons and everything.
There's a little more.
Were you scared, Lee?
No, but it's cool.
You sounded scared.
Like, kind of like being in the catacombs. It seemed like so. That was kind of cool.
How was their Space Mountain?
Their Space Mountain is it's more like Rock and Roller Coaster with the launch system from California Screaming. And so I'm claustrophobic and I don't like really dark places and I don't like being really strapped in firmly to a roller coaster. So
he's my brother.
You know, Rock and Roller Coaster I'll do every now and then, but it makes my head hurt and doesn't make me feel comfortable. Space Mountain there is definitely, it's the most intense of any of these Space Mountains. We both did it once and said, okay, we're going to check that one off our list. I don't think we need to rush back to that again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that means I would need to rush to it then.
Yeah, my problem with it is because I can't see the track and it has a couple corkscrews in it, that screws up my neck when I can't see and anticipate it. So if I could anticipate, I would be fine with riding it, but because it's dark, it doesn't work for me very well.
And then there's a couple cool rides. I mean, the studio is about half the size of Disneyland. The Remy ride is the trackless vehicles, and it's a lot like Gringotts kind of universe. Well, so you have 3D glasses on. You've got big movie screen. You know, you kind of go from room to room, and stuff happens around you. So it's kind of that more modern, immersive ride, Spider-Man, Gringotts, whatever kind of thing. And then they've got a Crush roller coaster that's also relatively intense, but it's kind of cool because you're riding on a turtle, and so there's four seats that sit back-to-back to each other, so two facing each direction, and then the coaster car actually is not hard aligned to the track. So it's not quite like Primeval World where they just let it go and centripetal force kind of spins you around and adds to the ride. But somehow it changes orientation as you're going down the track. So, you know, you might come into a bank turn and it'll kind of spin the car 180 degrees or something as you're going through the turn or something like that. I don't know. I mean, we only did it once. And so it was very different and very cool.
Yeah. The track, as far as the intensity of the coaster itself, I would say it's more like Big Thunder Mountain in terms of the intensity of it, but it's not, I don't think it goes that long, but the spinning, because the turtle shell spins, adds an additional level, and it is also in the dark, so you really can't see what's going on that well.
And what about nighttime shows? Are there fireworks shows and things like that?
They have a nighttime show that's mostly projections on the castle, which was very beautiful, and it had some fireworks that went with it, but it's not a huge fireworks show like we're used to seeing.
I call it fireworks as punctuation.
Yes.
The third part of it is there's actually, they have fairly extensive set of water fountains in the castle moat, but that was down for rehab. So we got to see, you know, like two thirds of the show. The nice thing is they went ahead and did it even without the water fountains.
And it was a good show. I liked it. It actually kind of had a story with what was going on with the projection, so that was nice to see.
Yeah.
And there's a parade, daytime parade, that was well done. Over at the studios, they have a live show called Mickey and the Magician, live stage show, and it was excellent. It was really, really good.
Reminded me of one of the cruise line shows, with live actors and a thin plot that sort of lets you string together getting people to come out in character and, you know, sing hit songs from classic Disney movies.
And they mixed English and French, which was interesting. So the character Mickey would say something typically in French, and then one of the other face characters would say something in English that basically repeated what Mickey had said.
That's cute.
Or restated it.
Yes, Mickey, I do believe that I can do it.
Exactly. So, yeah.
That's funny. It'd be funny to hear Mickey speaking French.
He said it's a little bit too bad. I mean, it's off season, which, and we remember how Run Disney started. You know, it was, among other things, a way to get people into the parks during off season. So the good news, like during the week, the parks were dead. You could just pop in. It was a little more busy in the weekend because the locals showed up. But the bad news is it was off season, and so three of the quote unquote e-ticket rides, I think, at Disneyland Paris were down for rehab. And a couple of the decent rides at the studio. So I mean, I'm trying to remember. Something was down at the studios. Is that where Star Tours was?
Mm-mm, Star Tours in Disneyland.
Anyway, so there was some stuff down. So that will be, again, if they keep doing it in this time of the season, that now it may be worse because they're coming up on a big anniversary. So I think they may be doing more investment and fix up of things than they would otherwise. But it's just that's a consideration, if assuming that this happens again next year.
Well, it sounds like it was quite a trip for you guys, and I know that Michelle and I appreciate your coming on the show and telling us so much stuff that I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
We want to also congratulate the two of you for running the inaugural race weekend races over there, and congratulations on your Castle to Chateau achievements. There aren't
Thank
that many
you.
People
I
who have that.
I want to congratulate Lara, too, because she is just about to retire.
That's right.
Woohoo! How many more days, Lara?
26.
Oh, my goodness.
But who's counting?
Congratulations.
But one thing she is not retiring from, and that is her blog, which is on allears.net. And the blog is called Salute to All Things Disney, But Most Disneyland. And you can read Lara's 5-part report on Disneyland.
With lots
Paris.
Of great photos.
Lots of great photos. Mm-hmm. You go to www.allears.net/blog/Lara Gilbreth. We have this in the show notes, and we want to thank both Lee and Lara for coming on. And they're still recuperating from jet lag, as is my co-host here, Michelle Scribner-McLean. So, guys, thank you very much.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much, guys.
So for Lara Gilbreth, for Lee Zimmerman, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying au revoir.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.
The last time I saw Paris, the heart was warm and gay. No matter how they change her, I'll remember that way. The last time I saw Paris, the last time I saw Paris.